Welcome to Law Subscribed. This is your dedicated news source for all things subscriptions and the law. My name is Matthew Kurbis. I'm the subscription attorney, and I believe subscriptions can help bridge the access to justice gap and incentivize attorneys to modernize and scale their practice like never before. In this episode, I interview Clay Green. Clay is a conscious flow control and efficiency expert who helps his coaching clients get more results with less effort. The subscription model requires efficiency to be successful, so I'm really glad to have met Clay so I could introduce him to you. As a former athlete, I thought I knew all about flow, but Clay's insights into flow are nuanced and unique. He also shares his approach to the elevator question and how to answer it, which is something I'm already using when I'm networking. The sponsor of this podcast is 650, a business and employment legal document automation tool. When you're not billing by the hour, efficiency matters. And 650 can help you scale your practice to get high-quality documents drafted in less time. You could get 10% off when you use the code LAWSUBSCRIBED at checkout in their document marketplace or when you mention LAWSUBSCRIBED for your annual subscription. For me to make a personal introduction between you and 650, click the link in the show notes called Get Connected with 650 and enter your contact information. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only, and nothing said is legal, ethical, or financial advice. Without further delay, here's the episode. All right, Clay Green, welcome to the Law Subscribed podcast.
Hey, what's going on? This is amazing. I'm so stoked we met, and I'm so excited to be here.
All right, well, I'm happy to have you. Go ahead and give yourself an introduction to my listeners.
Well, we met a few days, we met a week ago, something like that. But we were having a conversation and my story resonated. And you thought that some of your lawyers might be able to get something from this story. And the gist of that story is I'm a pretty smart fella. I've got an interesting background with some very unique adventures in my history. And I'm really proud of a couple of them. And the entire time that I'm on all those things that I have so much pride in, I was an employee. And then something pretty dramatic happened. The whole time that I was an employee, I wanted to build a business. I knew the secret was business ownership and producing your own income and all that good stuff. But I never could seem to make it happen. And then this life-changing event happened about a decade ago that we talked about briefly. And, actually 3 different life-changing events kind of happened all at the same time. And that gave me the tools and the understanding to successfully build my own business and go forward. And since then I've basically generated my own income and built a lifestyle that I'm in love with and I'm enjoying and all that good stuff. And here we are today. All kinds of lessons I've learned. Yeah, and I'm here and happy to share.
Yeah, and lawyers, typically, if you're in private practice, which is sort of, if you're interested in that, that's why you're listening to this podcast, they either end up, even if you're an associate, you're working for somebody else, the end goal in private practice is become a partner. So even if you're not a sole business owner or a solopreneur, you'll end up being a part business owner as an attorney, as a partner at a firm. So whether you want to go solo like me or whether you want to end up partner at a firm, this is going to be really relevant information for you. And it's not hyperbole to say you're a pretty smart fella. I talk to a lot of people across the intellectual spectrum. And at least just from our quick chat a few days ago, some of my takeaways with you was really good listener and asked really good questions. And I think that's really important, especially in light of what you do. We met on LinkedIn and I meet a lot of people on LinkedIn, but very few people stand out. So happy to have you here. There are at least 3 big things just to tee it up for the listeners here that I want to cover today. That is the car wash question, building your own business and conscious flow control. So, let's get us started, Clay. First, maybe tell my audience before we get into those what it is that you actually do and who it is that you work with.
It's really exciting. The way we met is I'm working with lawyers now. I'm kind of focused on lawyers, and I really am enjoying it, which surprised you. Lawyers are great. And the reason that I'm enjoying it is because of kind of this situation that you described there. It's like they're working for somebody and they're striving to be a partner, and that's and I've got several clients right now that are in that process, and they're trying to make that decision on whether they're going to try and be a partner or whether they're going to build their own practice. And it comes down to the realization that they're not in that business mindset. So for lawyers right now that are seeking that clarity, that's kind of what I do. A way to label it would be I'm either a high performance expert or an efficiency expert. Basically, better results with less energy expended. More revenue, more clients, more happy clients with less energy expended, meaning less stress, less anxiety, less financial investment. That's what I help people do. Big picture. And there's several tools and things and ways that I do it.
Well, we're not going to have you
And flow
give
control would
away.
be one
Yes. And you're not going to give away all your secret sauce today, but you're going to tease enough that, some people may want to follow up with you. So efficiency expert is really also the thing that made me really interested in having you on the show, because with the subscription model applied to legal services, it's all about that efficiency game. You're no longer billing by the hour. You want to deliver efficient and effective work in as little time as possible. And because being a lawyer is stressful, regardless of whether you're billing by the hour or you're using the subscription model, you're still dealing with people's problems and helping them through problems. So it can be stressful. So being able to deal with that energy in an efficient way, I think, is also super important. So, but also just some general business takeaways. I know you're going to have two, and if people want to follow up with you, they will. So, I think, and feel free to take it in a different direction. But let's. I'm interested in your business experience, what you've learned, some of the things you've learned from other clients who are going on this journey. What and it doesn't have to be specific to attorneys, although I do know you work with attorneys. It could, it could be, but it could also be with sort of anyone or your own personal experience too.
That question is so huge. I remember pushing the lawnmower up and down the street, trying to get the neighbors to pay me to get their cut the grass, you know? Everything I've tried and done, I've been a professional snowboard coach. I've been a professional trainer. I've been a motorcycle coach and trainer. There's so many different aspects of this. Just lawyers, the grotesquely huge diverse set of expertises out there. It's mind-boggling. I love the word infinity. And there's literally an infinite number of expertises. Expertises, is that the right word? Anyway. The point is, regardless of everybody that I've bumped into and all these different levels of expertise that I've played with, financial advisors, lawyers about clean energy, lawyers in personal injury, lawyers in, I am overwhelmed and flabbergasted by one of my lawyers and the level of his ability to see international relations and international trade and challenges. I'm blown away by his perspective. It all comes down to understanding and having empathy for your client. It all comes down to your understanding of how you are adding value and understanding without you, the importance of valuing yourself in that interaction. There's so much going on right there at that tiny little thing. So if there's, from a business perspective, I would say growing your awareness of the intimacy of that transaction, of the intimacy of that situation, whatever your client is going through, whatever you're going through, and when your expertise and how it's applied there, growing your awareness of that interaction is probably the single most powerful thing that you can do to grow a business. In my opinion.
I think that's really important because, at the end of the day, you could be the best lawyer. You can know everything about your area of expertise, And you could write a really mean brief or motion, but if you can't empathize and relate to, your clients, either you're not going to generate business, A, or B, they're not going to be happy with the services you provide. Because at least if you end up in court, this isn't always true before court, but if you're representing people in court, it's oftentimes a zero-sum game. You win or you lose. Now, you could still do a really good job for your client, and you could make every argument under the law that you can ethically, make, and a jury could still award something in a different direction, right? But if you have good empathy with your client, if you've developed that relationship and worked with somebody like you to develop those skills, if you don't have them, then you're still going to have a happy client at the end of the day, even though maybe you didn't get the result that you wanted in court.
Going towards to jump into the pool that you just jumped into with negotiations and influencing a jury or a judge, it still all comes down to that empathy. It's a skill. It's a skill. I once heard one of my mentors give a speech and frankly talk about how us men are brain damaged. Our empathy muscle is at best 1/10 of most women's. Women have this ability, the feminine in our species has this ability to be empathetic. I mean, it just makes sense if you look at evolution and the history of mankind or whatever. Mothers, they, protecting the kid, they protect the kid, right? That's the and understanding and the empathy that your empathy towards the judge, your understanding of where that person's sitting or the jury, or it's just your. I'm here's my most, I tell people this all the time. My number one most valuable tip, the way I say it is, the absolute most valuable thing you will ever hear me say, I'm about to say, grow your awareness of your body. Because that, and in this example, that empathetic muscle comes through your senses, your sight, your hearing, your smell, your touch, your taste. Your ability to be empathetic to a room, to a situation, to your client comes through your senses. Grow your awareness of your body. Most valuable thing I'll ever say. Every client I have, every meeting I have, I say it at least once.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think at least something I learned in law school, but I think is relevant no matter what profession you're in or where you're working or what you're doing, is your ability to listen. But to extrapolate what you're saying, listening is not just with your ears. Listening is a full body experience, right? So you gotta be a good listener. And you'll certainly get no rejection from me that women are better than men in a lot of different ways, and empathy is one of them. I think and we just met. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to the backlog of the podcast, but I mostly had women on the show, and because it's women who are doing innovative things in the legal profession when it comes to the business model, and so that goes right in line, I think, with sort of the previous episodes that we've talked about. So let's move on then next to this car wash question. So we've and I mean, unless you have more you want to give, but I know people could always reach out to you, if they want more. So with the car wash question, like I've heard the elevator pitch, right? But this is different. So maybe you want to talk about, where you came to this idea of the car wash question. Maybe give an example of your own, and then maybe just for fun, I'll try to come up on the spot with my own car wash question. And because I haven't even, we only talked 2 days ago, I haven't actually thought about it, but I thought it would be fun for my listeners to hear somebody
Interesting.
getting coached on the car wash question, live.
I haven't really, it's kind of funny. Like, I've been doing this long enough now to where I'm like, did I hear this somewhere else or did I come up with this? Like, I don't remember. So if anybody's listening and they're mad because they came up with this first, cool, you came up with it first. I probably heard it on another podcast. If not, I remember I was helping someone a few months ago. I've had a whole huge revelation on frameworks and understandings on some stuff in the last 3 months, 4 months. Like, just not new news, just ways to describe it. And this person was looking for clients and they were looking on LinkedIn. And they showed me, I said, well, show me your first message that you send to people to tell them, about you and what you do. And they showed it to me, and I immediately just said, I don't even want to read it. It was like maybe 500 words, 1,000 words, multiple paragraphs, multiple sentences. And I'm like, man, I'm not even going to open that. Like, if I'm on LinkedIn, I'm not going to waste my time doing that. And this isn't, and then I realized it's not just LinkedIn. It's standing in a coffee shop in line waiting for coffee, or you're waiting for the barista to make your coffee. You got 10 people around you. A very common thing is, what do? And I've found clients in coffee shops like that. The car wash question is simple. To get to the punchline, do you know anybody that needs a car wash? So I'm de-emphasizing, hey, Curbis, do you need a car wash? I'm not saying that. I'm saying, hey, do you know anybody that needs a car wash? I'm asking for referrals. So it's turning down the urgency a little bit, and it's pointing out a car wash. And of course, first off, everybody knows somebody that needs a car wash, usually yourself. And so the most common answer is, yeah, I kind of need a car wash. Cool. I've got a 50% discount for the car wash around the corner here. I happen to own it. Go get a discount, get a car wash. Mm-hmm. Right? Boom. There you go. You've just made a friend. You've just made a client. You just, who knows?
Solve somebody's
problem.
That's
the gist of the car wash question.
Right.
Right. And it goes back to growing your awareness and empathy. Knowing your client and the problems that you can solve. So the question becomes, what problem do you solve? Short and simple, my car wash question is, do you know anybody that's not happy with the results they're getting? Do you know anybody that's working or do you know anybody that's working too hard for too few results? Mm-hmm. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
So what about it? What's your car wash question, Curtis?
Yeah. So I genuinely, because I wanted this to be like a really good, like actual, example of you helping somebody out with this. I didn't really think about this too much. I definitely have my elevator pitch, and maybe I'll start with that and try to frame it down. I'll try to reframe it into a car wash question. Yeah.
And the trick with badasses like you is you have to pick one of your elevator pitches, not all five. Or six.
Right. And I'm always iterating, right? Like you could always improve, right? So you sometimes it's, and most recently I've been able to get in actual rooms with actual people and like do my different versions of my elevator pitch and see what works, what doesn't. It's almost like stand-up comedy. Nice. you just gotta go to the club nobody's heard of and practice your stand-up. And then when you have that big show moment, then you've refined it, right? So it's been kind of like that. But like right now my elevator pitch is for my business, Subscription Attorney LLC, is I'm fractional in-house counsel for small businesses, freelancers, and everyday people. And so in a way that's that's making the assumption that, and I'm usually in a room of small business owners when I say that.
Can I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead.
That was my question. Okay, so let's work this like I'm coaching a little bit here.
Yeah.
Who are you saying that to? A room full of small business owners.
Typically, yeah, like a local chamber of commerce meeting or something where I'll say, I'm general or I'm fractional general counsel for small businesses, freelancers, and everyday people. Because in my mind, I'm thinking they're probably small business owners. They might be solopreneurs like me, like a freelancer, and they're also people too. And I represent all those groups in a fractional, affordable, general way. So that's what I have ideas for how to change that I'm working on, that I'm workshopping myself. But I like, yeah, I want to reframe it into this car wash question. And I'm going to try to do that right now, unless you want, but first give me the feedback and then I'll try to reframe it. I don't know. You tell me.
You said something alarming a few months ago and you're not aware of it. And this is kind of what I do. Mm-hmm. You said, in my mind, stop. Think about the people, think about the other people's minds. Who's in that audience? You said, for your fractional, I missed who, for who again? Give me those three things again.
Sure.
People, freelancers,
and small business owners.
So small business owners, freelancers, and people. Pick one.
I know it's hard.
Just
for
pick
me.
One of those right now.
It's hard for me.
Pick one.
I like representing all of those people, but it's more sustainable for my business if I go with small business owners because I need fewer of those clients, but I get the most satisfaction out of helping everyday people. So it's hard. And
Well, here's news.
the freelancers are just like me, so I love representing them too.
All the so here's a way that I work, and this is getting deep quick. I go deep, we're going to the deep end, and the news is, for some reason, you're thinking, you're saying, when you say small business owner, you're not talking to freelancers and people, but you are. And what that's going to do is, as you try to work through this chat, this car wash question generation challenge, the fact that you feel like you're shutting down two and focusing on one, that's going to shadow the energy, that's going to energetically shadow and mess up your attempts to come up with a car wash question. So you're not excluding two, but you are fine-tuning for clarity. Because, like you said, small business owners typically are some kind of freelancer in some way, and they're people. So instead of what's the first part of your elevator pitch again? A fractional.
Fractional in-house counsel. Sometimes I say general counsel for
So
everyday
stop right
people.
there. Fractional in-house counsel. Stop right there. What the heck does that mean to me?
So, and
Right?
yeah,
Like I'm not,
I
I don't
know.
know what an in-house counsel is. I don't know what counsel is. So instead of, and here comes the question, let me ask the question. Instead of telling me what that is, why am I going to need you? What's the number one? Here it is. What's the most common pain that you solve first?
So and th this is that that's a really good question, but my response to that is I don't solve pain, I help people avoid legal pain. That's what I do. So instead of waiting till somebody has such a big legal pain point that needs to be solved that I could charge a premium, that's what every other lawyer does. What I do is I help people avoid their legal pains for a much more affordable price.
Can you can yeah, they are. Do you want? Oh, here comes the next conversation that we may or may not want to market maturity. So, this is another one. This is one of those business conversations that we were talking about in the beginning. In case your listeners haven't aren't aware, there's I think four or five stages. I can't remember the number off the top of my head to a consumer's maturity or intent or maturity level. What is it? They don't even know they have a problem. Then they're aware they have a problem. Then they're aware they have a problem and, oh, wait a second, there's somebody that can help me solve it. Then they're aware they have a problem and they're seeking people to solve it. So I'm just going to tell you, the people that you're looking to serve are those people that are seeking to invest in solving that problem. The problem isn't a legal problem. The problem is they know they're exposed. Like right now, I know I'm exposed in my business in some ways. So I could use your services if I knew you help unexpose me to legal jeopardy.
Yeah, it's a really good framing, and I think that what I'm trying to do, and this is where it comes back to the subscription model, is I'm, and it's a little bit of a nascent market, if you will, but I think that I'm trying to catch people in the I don't know I have a problem phase, because I'm only charging $20 a month for an entry level. So instead of having to wait until I'm an everyday person and I was in a car accident and I'm driving down the road and I see a billboard that says, "Have you been in a car accident? Call Joe Schmo and Associates." I'm trying to get people on the front end where they're already paying me. So the moment they're in a car accident, they could say, "Hey, I've already hired this attorney," or they get presented with a one-page contract and they weren't expecting it, but they're already hiring me so they could call me right away. They've already hired me so they call me right away. So like I feel like I'm trying to slot in early in that phase.
What's the question you can ask that exposes their ignorance?
Right. So I'm thinking something like, like, do you know anyone who needs a car wash? I would say, do you know anyone who doesn't want to deal with their day-to-day legal issues? Send them my way.
I hear it. But that's not, you want like a car wash. My car is dirty. Day-to-day legal issues. There's something about that exposed word that's really hitting to me. I like using language to really, now we're getting into some market. We're getting deep into some marketing, copywriting stuff. I like using language that really causes people to think. So that exposed word exposes and causes people to feel or question their vulnerability. S maybe something, how's something like, do you know anybody that doesn't even know how exposed they are yet? But you got to get legal in there somehow. You got to get to legal action. But, do you know anybody? You know any freelancers or small business owners, or do you know any free but small business owners? Something like that haven't learned the legal lesson that haven't been, that haven't, you know me?
Yeah, I think okay, so I think it's more difficult for me to do the car wash question with sort of everyday people for legal avoidance as opposed to legal problem solving, but I do think the car wash question makes sense for like the small business owner, right? And I think that's where you were sort of nudging me. So like you know any small business owners who are done dealing with their daily legal business operations? I mean like something like that where like they as a small business owner, you have to worry about contracts, you have to worry about setting up your business, you have to worry setting up
Too
compliance,
much, too
employment
much.
stuff.
See, Curvis, you're explaining. Got it. It has to ask something. The goal of this question, okay, let's go back. Let's go back. One of the steps that I took getting to this question is going back to that coffee shop scenario and the what do you do? When I'm answer I when I answer that question, I want to spark curiosity and find out with their answer. I want to find out as quick as I can if I should or should not be interested in this person's potential client. So what do? My answer to that typically was I help small business owners make more money. I help people make more money easier. I help people make more money easier. You help people cover their ass. You help people, like how can you say it like boom? I help people cover their ass legally.
I
Like, I
do
like
that.
that.
That is what I do essentially. At the if you really boil it down,
Right?
is I help people cover their ass so they don't have to cover it themselves.
Flip that into, dude, I like the way you said that. So they don't have to cover it themselves. Flip that into a question. You know, do you know any small business owners with their asses exposed? I literally don't have a problem asking that question. And they're like, what do you mean? Legally, legally. Do you know anybody? Right?
You
Because the
know any
whole goal is to get that conversation started.
You know any small business owners with legal problems? I help them. Yeah, I mean, I know it's kind of broad. I know it's
But
kind of
again, you don't want that. You don't want the legal problems. You want the subscribers, you said, right?
I
You
do.
want people that you want to educate. You want to teach people how exposed they are. Do that.
When I went solo, I pivoted from mostly litigation to a transactional-only practice. I did not have a database of documents to automate. That's why a business and employment legal document database and automation tool like 650 is super useful. I can rely on the quality of the documents in 650's database since they're putting excellent legal minds to work curating and updating their documents and automations over time. When you're not billing by the hour, outsourcing and efficiency matters, and 650 can help you scale your practice to get high-quality documents drafted in less time. Use the code LawSubscribed at 650.com and when being onboarded to get 10% off. If you're not a business and employment attorney, or you have your own documents that you'd prefer to use, then my next sponsor, Gavel, is the automation tool for you. Gavel allows you to build shareable, client-facing workflow and document automations. In other words, Gavel helps you create a legal practice where attorneys can monetize the value they bring clients in productized form at scale via subscriptions and flat fees. Use the code LawSubscribed at gavel.io to get 10% off an annual subscription. There's no one right way to automate and scale your practice, but with one or both of my sponsors, 650 and Gavel, you can take your subscription law firm to the next level. Links to both in the show notes. Now back to the show.
I really like the ass uncovered situation.
I'll have to feel out the person a little bit to see if they're cool with it. But I do like that. I will workshop this more. I don't wanna use the podcast for a whole free session. So I will workshop this more, Clay. But this is really useful. I appreciate it. I'm gonna genuinely leave it in because I think it's important for people to see the process. And I think I did make some improvements from starting with an elevator pitch and moving towards a car wash question. So I will keep working on that. Now let's get into the juicy stuff, because this is when you said this next thing to me, this is when I knew there was a little bit of symbiosis between us at this point, and I knew this is what was really going to be super useful to the true believers of the subscription model for legal services. Because if you've adopted this model, you can't let your calendar control you. You have to control your calendar. And so if I'm talking on other podcasts, I'll often talk about how I use time blocking. But it's one thing to time block, and it's another thing to do it effectively. And you teach something called conscious flow control. And so you're not going to teach me conscious flow control right now. But maybe talk a little, I mean, maybe just like tip of the iceberg. We don't have enough time. But tell my audience a little bit about, you know, how you learned how to do conscious flow control, and maybe a little bit more background on it and define what it is. Cause I intuited what it meant because I'm familiar with flow. I was an athlete, you know, I do these things, but not everyone has that background. So assuming they know nothing about flow, you know, maybe start there. Like, what is flow?
In the 1980s, Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi was a psychologist, and he did a nationwide study in the United States about happiness. And he found out when people were their happiest. And the answer was when they were working on something, when they were accomplishing something. Maybe that's playing a basketball game. Maybe that's skiing down a slope on a snowboard or skis. Maybe that's mountain biking. Maybe it's having sex. Maybe it's, maybe it's building a business. Maybe it's accomplishing, balancing their checkbook for this week or this month. It was the act of doing something and feeling that sense of accomplishment. And he coined the term flow state. People would tend to get focused on something and stay focused on that something because it made them feel good to be doing that. Fast forward, that was a book was released in the 90s or early 90s, late 80s, 89, something like that, called Flow. In the introduction to that book, there's a paragraph that says that defines flow. It's that high performance state. It's when you feel really you're focused. Time may slow down or speed up. The rest of the world seems to disappear, and you're highly focused and zoned in on something. You're performing at a higher than normal state. And then he said, "We all know what it is. We all know we've been in flow, but we can't control it. We can't choose when we go into flow." Fast forward a couple decades, and a wonderful gentleman named Stephen Kotler he's an author, a writer. He went to school to learn how to be a writer. He was a writer, and he fell in love with extreme sports like surfing. And he was writing for incredibly popular magazines and writing about these incredible athletes. And he started putting together flow and flow control and flow states and how these athletes were able to magically turn on flow state and go perform. And literally at these extreme levels, like think about Shaun White hucking himself 25 foot out of a 25 foot tall half pipe. He's 30, 40 feet up in the air, and he's had some injuries. There's some videos of him banging his head pretty hard a couple times. They're literally in life and death situations. There's a guy named Danny Wei who jumped the Great Wall of China on a skateboard, and he did it with a broken ankle. Like he was, anyway, doesn't matter. Bottom line is those guys hacked flow. So Stephen Kotler created, became passionate about it and did a whole lot of studying about it. And about 10 years ago, released a book called The Rise of Superman. Number one complaint about that book is it tells all about what's going on in your body. It's a beautifully written book with incredible extreme athlete stories and how they chase these incredible feats and how the sports evolved and all this stuff. And it all came down to the human body and how they're using flow state to do these things. The number one complaint about that book is it gave all these details, but it didn't tell you how to. Me, I'm a trainer. I've been an adult, a trainer of adults in nuclear power, semiconductor manufacturing, sports things like snowboarding and motorcycles. So my entire adult life, I've been a trainer. So when I read that book, it was like a tech manual. And I digested that book and was able to immediately start teaching people how to use it, how to turn on and turn off flow state. And that's what I do now. I teach business owners. I literally just got off of a call last hour with this incredible business owner who's already doing it. He just doesn't have the flow state framework. He sets work sessions, he time blocks just like you, Curtis. He sets goals for those work sessions, and he's doing all the work. He's doing all these things around effective flow state management, and he's going into flow. But he's going to change his life in the next 2 weeks as I show him how to do a couple things different at the beginning and a couple things different at the end of a work session that's going to enable him to turn on and turn off flow state with a 15, 30, 45, maybe even up to 90-minute work session. And then in the span of 5 to 10 minutes, go from doing accounting to writing effective copy in the next work session. And if you know what I'm talking, if you know enough about copywriting and accounting, that's using very different parts of your brain. So you know that I'm talking about a major task switch there. And the ability to shift tasks and go into the depth of flow state that you desire is what I teach people. And managing that depth is super important when it comes to things outside work. There's a whole can of worms that we go into there. So there's the elevator pitch about what flow state is and what conscious flow control is. Where do you want to go?
It's really interesting. As a lifelong athlete, I mean lifelong, I mean I haven't really done too many athletic things in the last few years, but being a parent is kind of an athletic activity at times. Certainly holding your child can sometimes be pretty athletic as they're kicking their legs trying to escape. And so the flow state is not something I've ever really thought about applying to my business, right? Like I've been engaged in flow state for fun activities. I've been engaged in flow state for when I'm playing a sport. After talking to you, like this is something that I'm has me super interested. But let's talk about the code switching, like the wearing the different hats, right? Like what is important about flow state for, why can't I just, I'm in a flow state, I'm doing my accounting, now I'm going into marketing my business. Like what's the reason you want to turn it on, turn it off, turn it on again, turn it off?
Kind of two different questions. Let's start with the bigger picture, and we'll come back to the two tasks. The bigger picture is, in reality, like you just described, you were aware that you were in flow state during sports and as a parent. First bit of news is there's good and not good and or bad reasons to be in flow state. My favorite example is we've all heard stories of a grandma picking up a minivan off of their grandkid. Well, that level of performance is flow state, and a car crash with a child's life in danger is a not good reason to be in flow state. I don't know, what's your favorite sport that you've ever played or ever done?
The flow state where I got into the most flow state playing football as a running back in high school. I think that's where I saw it, that's where I felt it the most.
If you haven't read the studies yet, there are studies that show that the most precognizant people so far studied on the planet are inside linebackers at the college level. They can anticipate the future off of you. Right? Like there's so anyway, that's an interesting connection. But okay, that's a good reason to go into flow. You're playing a sport, you're having fun. How about fighting with your wife? Not a good,
No, definitely not.
but you've definitely been in flow fighting with your wife. I guarantee you have, if you're married, if you've ever been married.
Yeah, we have it's disputes are inevitable in any relationship. So yeah, yes.
The point is, you've gone into flow there. Currently, today, another example that I like to point out is professional athletes going from the collegiate to professional level. And then there's rock stars that make it big all of a sudden. These guys go from a very regimented, hardworking, like both of those groups of people are in a situation where they've got to pay attention to their budget. They've got to pay attention to their schedule. The rock star might have a job and he's got to go to sleep so he can get to work and do his job and then get off and go do the gig and then go to sleep so he can do his job. And then all of a sudden he's rich and he doesn't have to do that job anymore, so his schedule is free. Or the professional athlete loosens up his world a little bit, is given millions and millions of dollars. Both of them are very susceptible to becoming addicted to and chasing flow states. We're familiar with that with, people making it and losing control. The reason that they lose control most often is they're chasing that incredibly good feeling that they have when they're performing. So they get off the stage, or they come out of a tournament, or they come out of a game, and drugs are sitting there, and drugs put you into flow. Right? Or other addictive behaviors, sex or gambling. And they become addicted to these things that put them in that state, not knowing that what they're really chasing is just that really good feeling. The whole point of all of that conversation was this. There are four stages in every flow cycle. The most important stage comes after flow state and is called recovery. And if you don't consciously recover, you're going to be sad and depressed because you're not in flow anymore and your body is craving flow. Today, videos, I'm sorry, movies, Netflix, Amazon, we have an infinite, unlimited supply to turn on the TV and go into flow because Star Wars or whatever movie you want to watch, war movies or news. Or video games. All these things are sitting there. You performed at work and you did a good job today. And now it's time to go home. I'm going to go spend all evening playing a video game, Call of Duty. You're not turning it off. You're staying in flow state and your body is burning this energy at that flow state level. That's the number one biggest takeaway for most of my clients. I have a client after working with me for about 3 or 4 months. No, it was more like 6 or 8 months. He told me that around month three, he looking back, he realized about 4 months ago, I stopped playing video games. And I was like, well, what do you mean? So what? We hadn't talked about video games. We hadn't talked about that at all. And he was like, he clearly said, well, no, you don't understand, Clay. Since I was eight, I've spent no less than 2 to 3 hours a day playing video games. He's like the mid-30s, late early 40s. He spent his entire life addicted to video games because now he understands he was chasing flow. So by turning on and turning off flow states throughout his day consciously and allowing himself to come into recovery and feel the depression, the sadness that happens when you come out of flow state. It's going to happen to me in a little while. When we get through with this interview, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a conscious recovery. I'm going to go feel not good. I'm going to think about all the things that I could have said better, all the abbreviations and contractions that I could have or should have or shouldn't have or should have used, and all the ways that my language may or may not have been better, the stories I could have told, the stories I didn't tell, the stories I sh should not have told. So him understanding flow control and flow states throughout his day allowed him to recover and not burn that energy playing video games, save it for the next day, go to bed at a decent hour, and get up and perform the next day. So there's a whole bunch of education about flow right there. I can safely come back and connect it if you want me to the other question you asked. But that
Yes.
was one of the questions you
Yes,
asked.
please, yes, connect it. I have follow up, but yes, give yourself a breath and then connect it.
Task switching. It's not the task. It's the energy you're going into the task with. For example, that previous client of mine, he had no problem coming out of a very productive business building. He was a coder, coding work day, and turning on a video game and going into flow. It's not a problem switching tasks, right? It's not the switching or it's not the task that's the problem. It's the energetic state you're going into the task with. Disconnecting from what you just accomplished, and then consciously connecting to where you're going. That little switch is the vital part to answer your question about switching tasks. Otherwise, you're dragging the you're still mentally in the game you left. It's one of the reasons that NFL teams or college teams don't players don't go both ways anymore. Switching from offense to defense is a huge mental shift, right? And that instantaneous switch is hard. If you can just stay in one zone, it's better. As business owners, most often we cannot do that effectively as a small business owner. We have to wear a lot of different hats. So learning how to effectively make that transition is part of flow control, and it's a very important lesson to learn.
And
Did that
so
answer that question?
no, I think that was good. And so I will have one more question for you after this that I end all my interviews with, but I think that's a great segue into, okay, I'm listening. I want to learn more from Clay. Where do I find Clay? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
It's funny. Most business, here's another one of those business lessons. Depending on what you're selling, you want to make customer acquisition or the customer's journey as easy as possible. I've learned that I don't want that. In the last few years, depending upon your political perspective, or religious perspective, or a bunch of other perspectives, we've seen the power of flow state. We've seen potentially deadly and powerful government. I mean, right now in Peru, it's happening. The government's being toppled. There's society changing energies that come from people understanding what and applying it in ill, nefarious ways. Nefarious ways. So I make it kind of I don't make it easy to work with me and learn flow. I want to make sure and interview everybody I talk to. I do not have a course that you can buy about flow. I do teach groups, and I will teach groups, but I need to understand who that group is and all that good stuff before I do it. The long story short, there's a couple websites. One is consciousflowcommunity.com. And you can find and you can apply and you can get to me through that. There's an email there as well. The other one is my kind of personal website, and it's the word enthusiastically misspelled. So enthusiastic, LAY at the end, .com. Enthusiastic, LAY .com or enthusiasticclay.com.
My last actual question for you, Clay, is, and I ask this of all my guests, is a hot dog a sandwich and why?
Did you hear what was announced yesterday about nuclear fusion?
I did.
The question is yes. It's a, well, no, I'm sorry. It's not yes. It is a sandwich, and it's not a sandwich, is the answer to the question. It is anything you want it to be, because holy cow. That fusion announcement proves anything's possible. This world is yours to make as you will. I strive in every opportunity I can to not choose sides. And if I can avoid it, I do. I can't always avoid it, but yeah.
I'm also one who tries to see all sides. So and not pick sides, right? The bifurcation logical fallacy. Not engaging in that here.
Ooh.
So with that, Clay Green, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And until next time, consciousflowcommunity.com, enthusiasticclay.com, and pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it. I don't even want to stop. Let's keep going.
Thanks again to 650 and Gavel for sponsoring this show. The best way for others to discover this show is for you to share it with someone you think would find a value from it. Follow me on LinkedIn, since that's where I'm most active on social media, and click the bell towards the top right of my profile to get notified about all of my posts about this podcast and everything else I think is valuable for you to see. To get in touch, message me on LinkedIn or email kerbis@lawsubscribed.com. All links are in the show notes. Until next time, this is Matthew Kerbis with Law Subscribed.